Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
It's a very important time for children. I think that every generation, but this is ours, so it's got to be ultimately important to us. This generation of young people that we have surrounding us, the children that we are raising around us, should be of utmost importance to all of us. This does not eliminate those of us in this place who already have children of 30, 40, and maybe some even 50 years old. I know that my children are adults now. And they're grown up, married, and have children, but still they are important to me. Because they themselves are raising children now. And I will always be their father. Somebody say amen. And we're going to talk about parenting this morning. And I first want to read out of Malachi before we pray over our hearts that the Lord might come to speak to us and admonish us, encourage us on good parenting and what our children need to be encouraged to serve the Lord. Out of Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15, the scripture reads as follows. Has not the Lord made them one? And he's speaking of a couple. Husband and wife. Now I am tender to those who are single parents in this place. Nonetheless, God has gifted you with children. But has not the Lord made them one? In the flesh and spirit, they are his. And why? Why did the Lord bring this marriage, this union together? Because he was seeking godly offspring. How many know that God really expects to get what he wants? Amen? Some of you don't believe that. God really expects to receive what he desires. Jesus said, it is the desire of my Father that none be lost. So that means that God's going to follow you and chase you around every breathing day of your life until you make up your mind for God. And that's a beautiful thing. But he desires godly offspring. And I titled this conversation, devotional sermon, whatever you call what I do up here as your pastor. The descendants of God, or God's descendants. And I want you to think about that. It sounds light. It sounds just like simple words, God's descendants. But it seems to carry more weight when we understand that that is dependent, and that responsibility of giving God descendants is totally on you. Totally on me as a father. Now, some of us are blessed in the church and around the world and churches everywhere to have our children with us in church. And I'm thankful, and you should be thankful for that, the blessing to have our children here with us since they were children and kids. And some for us, those who have grown children in church, are now often married and have possibly even moved away, or young adults and now moved away to college. But you have the privilege and had the privilege and the opportunity, and you took advantage of that to raise them in the house of God. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful that your children have learned the way of the Lord. But still there are many more, and maybe even in this house today, where our children are not here, and they have never been, or they've been only for a season. And now that they've grown up, they are now the ones whom we talk about when we speak about filled bar clubs and dance clubs and the streets and all these places that are away from the will of God. And they find themselves straying in life, doing other things that ultimately we understand is not the will of God. But nonetheless, we have children like that, some of us in this place. And it's of great concern. But I'm going to be reminding you this morning for the next few minutes that you allow me to speak to you, that you are a father and a mother till they cease to exist. You will always be mom and dad. Always. Nothing can ever change that. The only one that can change that is you. Now, when we speak about stray children, we are a people that by norm blame others for the mishaps in our families. Some may blame society and the pool of this ugly world that we live in. Well, no wonder my children are running stray. They're surrounded by all this ugliness in the schools and in the cities. They can't go anywhere. Sin is always just pulling on them. And so we dismiss our responsibility of them and say it's somebody else's fault that our children are running stray. Others may blame even the government. Well, you see, if the government had not made friends with so many different worlds around us where people have brought their ungodly practices and heathenistic worships and all these things around, that's why we have all of our kids converting to this and the other, because the government allowed people from all other countries with different faiths and different cultures and circles of beliefs. So we blame them for our children now having lived stray lives. Still others there might be who will blame the school system. It's the teacher's fault. It's the school system. Now we blame the school and we say that school is more guilty of now of indoctrination than education. Since we have so many ungodly teachers behind our teaching pulpits, they are now pushing and forcing all these ungodly ideas and philosophies in the minds of their students, our children, who are subject to the teaching pool, who are subject to the pulpit in front of them, who are subject to the authority of what teachers represent. It's their fault. That's why our kids are all messed up. And it relieves us. Can I say, I can't change the school system. I can't change the government. I can't change other religions. I cannot change society. Well, it's just that way. Too bad for my kid. And we relieve ourselves. Now, of all these things that I say this morning, it's always important to me, and it should be important to you, that when we hear the philosophies and the opinions of the world around us, we many times take that as doctrine. Well, that's what they say, so that's probably what it is. It's the school system. They're indoctrinating versus educating. And so we accept it as a gospel. But we should never, ladies and gentlemen, as parents, accept anything as doctrine until we find out what God thinks. Do you ever think about this society and the condition of this society and how we moan and complain of the perverse world we live in and the world that our children, our young people are involved in today, and how we moan at how ugly all these and perverse and how morality has spiraled down to nothingness? How we complain. Have we ever wondered what God thinks of that? And when we're trying to find the culprit and why, the whys as to we find ourselves in this condition, do we ever ask God to see what He thinks as to why we find ourselves in this perverse state, in this losing, seemingly losing battle? Maybe we don't ask God because deep down inside of our hearts we know that when God gave us children, He expected me to raise them for Him. Put your hand over your heart with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people. I pray for myself. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would speak to us and to our hearts. That Father God, today we might understand and come back to the reality of things. That, Lord, if we look at a losing society, Father, if we look at a world that's corrupt and spiraling worse and worse, Father, help us to be courageous to never exclude ourselves from many times a responsibility as to the whys. But speak to us this morning. One gift you've given us all who have children, and that is the gift of parenting. And whether we understand it or not, we realize it or not, we take it for granted or not, That weighs a lot of importance, Father, in your eyes. And so I pray for every father, every mother, every single parent in this place. Help us to understand the importance of us as you expect your descendants. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Do you ever ask yourself what God thinks? As the Lord looks at this generation and the direction it's taking, I wonder if God is blaming the same people that we are. I wonder if he is blaming simply society in general, the government, or even the school and educational system. Or do we dare take the challenge and maybe really ask God, in spite of the fear that if we ask him, he might say, "You are a major part." Nobody likes to feel the blame. In fact, that is the very motivating reason why we always find someone. This is what Adam did. We've been doing this since the beginning. Adam, what did you do? I didn't, she told me. It's a natural response for us to run from responsibility. But we ask the Lord this morning as to why all of this is so messed up, Lord. And could it be that the Lord might gently respond to us? It's because you've missed the way. Because you've overlooked what I expected you as parents to do. Because you failed to listen to the instructions that I've given you in the raising of my offspring. Because you've neglected to listen that I, your father, instructed you to do for the sake of the children. Now, I don't want to speak too much of the problem this morning, but I do want to offer you some instruction from God's word. So let's take a parenting class this morning and let's look at the criteria that God has for us as parents. Now, this suit may not fill everyone in this place. I bless God for you. But there are some who really need to listen to this. And don't be offended. Be receptive. This is for the sake of eternity. Somebody say amen. This is not for the sake of offending you or seeing where your failures are to condemn you. But it is to wake you up and to remind you that you are a father to a child. And you'll always be a father to a child. And the responsibility, regardless of who you push it off to, in the end, it'll be such a shame to hear the father say, "It was you." So better hear it from me. Is that okay? Better hear it from me. I've been given the awful challenge to have you not like me very much. He sent me to do this work. And do his work I must. I do want to offer you this morning instruction from his word, especially if there is one of us or more of us in this place that is struggling with a wayward child, or maybe there's a family who still has their young children with them in the church today, and you worry as they grow up what decisions they may make as they move forward in maturity. How do you secure? How do I find out that my children are going to be okay? Well, there are things in Scripture, and a lot of things. Now, one thing I can tell you that I wish that parenting came with a manual. Now, there's a lot of self-help books up there, and I don't even read any of them because of all this new idea and philosophy now that's completely unbiblical in the raising of children. I could mention a couple of things that are completely erroneous and ungodly, where sociologists and children psychologists teach parents today to teach their children and allow them to do for the better nurturing of their person. Baloney. Though we may not have an actual manual for child rearing, we have plenty of Word of God that can instruct us in the doing so and be prosperous. In the book of Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, the Bible says, train a child in the way he should go, so when he is old, he will not turn from it. Train a child. Now, as you read through the book of Proverbs, you will find something very interesting. The first thing that we may notice, if you are a Bible reader, if not, you should be. If you don't have a Bible, buy one. Is that you'll notice that in the book of Proverbs, the first 7, 8, maybe, I'm not too sure, but maybe even 9, but certainly 8 chapters of the book of Proverbs is all about parenting. It's all about the giving of instruction. It's always about sharing information. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 says this, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. And on it goes this scripture. In the first 7 chapters of the book of Proverbs, you will find these words over and over again. My son, my son, my son, my son, my son, my son this, my son receive that. My son listen to this, my son understand this, my son obey this. It's always instruction. It's not until the 8th or 9th chapter in this book that we begin to speak on other subjects in this particular book. It's the book of wisdom. And this book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, again, if you look at the first chapter, there is it's very explicitly intended to make us parents understand something about wisdom. And the first thing I might say is that the wisdom that we have as parents now, as adults, we have received from God. Because God is your Father. Amen? How many can call the Lord Father? How many need salvation today so that you can call Him Father? I call Him Father all the day long. He is my Father. And it is from Him that we receive this information. That is the first lesson in the book of Proverbs, that the information received has been received to us by our Father. And the second major lesson here is that this wisdom that we have gained for our Father, that we as fathers are able or should do everything to implement, to infuse the hearts of our children, exemplary of what we have received unto our kids. It's a channel. It's a drinking from heaven and giving to drink from what we have received from heaven. That is the place that you hold between your children and God. You are the connecting line between your children and God. In the scripture, and if you ask the Lord, parenting is a priority to Him. And He wants us to understand that though there are many things as parents that we teach our children, there are many important things, and yes, important things, such as knowing how to throw a baseball, or knowing how to thread a needle, or memorizing multiplication, or having good social etiquette, or knowing how to balance their budgets, or change a tie, or cut the lawn. Know how to present themselves during an interview. All these things are important for a father and a mother to teach their children in rearing them and allowing them to move forward in life. But what is the essential thing that God would have us to understand? What is the essential teaching and learning that God would have us to understand? Is that the major thing that we as parents have been designed and commanded to do is to teach our children to fear the Lord. to teach our children to fear the Lord. In the eyes of God, parenting is a priority. You didn't think you were that important, but you are to God. We have neglected parenting as if it meant nothing to God, but it is the most important thing to God. Proverbs chapter 22, where the Bible teaches us that we should train our child. We read it and gloss over it lightly and we say, like, well, we need to just show them, we need to tell them. It means so much more, ladies and gentlemen. When we read chapter 22 of the book of Proverbs and we read that you should train a child, that right there demands a certain posture about us. It demands something so internal from us. We cannot read over it, just simply gloss over it as if nothing. Just a simple word of advice. Well, make sure your kids do good. It's a great demand, this passage of Scripture is. It demands a posture, a lifestyle, an attitude, a sacrifice, a deep love, a deep understanding, and a knowledge of God on our behalf. The Living Translation reads the same verse as follows. Start your children off. You know how we trained our children how to ride a bicycle. And you sit them on there, they've got training wheels, but the real trainer is really holding their little neck or waist. And you're running with them, and they're going, and they're wobbling and going everywhere. And you're running with them until finally, after several times of teaching them and training them, they take off. And there they go on their own, riding their bicycle. I want you to know something. I told the church this morning, it's probably been about 50 years that I've ever been on a bicycle. But I used to ride one when I was a kid. But I can almost guarantee you this, even in my age, if given the proper chance, if you've got a bicycle that could hold me. Okay, it could hold some of us. I would still know how to ride it. I would. Give me the opportunity, I'll get on a bicycle and I'll ride it again, just like when I did when I was 8 years old. You don't forget stuff like that. And this is the implication of this proverb that we just read. That if you will show a kid, a little baby, your child, as they're young, how to do something, the guarantee is that they'll never forget what they learned from you. Even if, like me, I've never ridden a bicycle for a long time, if I was to ever get on one, I would do it again. Sometimes a child can grow and go off and do things in life and make mistakes and make errors in their life, but they'll never forget how to ride a bicycle. They'll never forget what they learned from the Lord. They'll never forget to learn or to remember, rather, what their parents taught them about Jesus. This is of great importance to us as parents this morning. To know that we are called to train them, and it's just not a simple word. To be able to run after a child as you're training him, you must be able to run yourself. In order to teach a child how to ride a bicycle, you must first know how to ride a bicycle yourself. To teach him how to pedal forward and to hold straight and to balance his little head so that he won't topple over, you must first, you as parents, learn how to hold your head stable and not topple at anything in the road. Are you with me this morning? I'm bringing importance to your parenting. It's not something to take lightly. Some of us wish there was a manual that could show us everything we need to know. Well, we don't have anything written by any publisher except God, and I happen to own his manual right here. And I want to offer you a few principles today that I want you to remember that God expects you to fulfill as parents. If indeed your desire is, as his desire is, to give him godly descendants. Did we pray already? Shall we pray again? Father, speak to us in the name of Jesus. Show us these principles in Jesus' name. Number one, treat your children as gifts of God. Treat them as a reward of the Lord. Psalms 127 and 3. Children are a heritage or a reward from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from Him. We need to take a different view of our children. Many people in the world, I wish the world could hear what I'm saying this morning. We need to learn to value our babies. We need to remind them on a constant basis that they are not a mistake, not in the way, not a headache, not a problem, not a burden, but to remind them that if you believe that they are a gift of God, they've come to make your life complete. When we dedicate babies on Sunday mornings and our young couples come, or whoever it may be, to dedicate this baby, I'll always tell them this, and you'll remember. And their witnesses, they come together. I said, in every chance that you have in the life of this child, every opportunity, you remind this baby what a blessing he is. You remind this young man, you remind this young girl what a blessing she is or they are to our families and how complete we are in our lives. Parenting has been so mishandled today. If you children are told that they are loved anymore, that they are valued, we complain as to why so many runaways under the bridges around the world. I can honestly say maybe there's a couple of just rebellious kids. But for the most part, they will tell you by witnesses and by interviews that many of them never had parents that loved them. Many of them never had parents that cared for them, that embraced them and gave them a kiss, that hugged them and they could feel the warm bosom of a mother or a father. But it was a cold place. They were simply occupants in this particular rental house where everyone had to exist, and soon enough they had to make a means for themselves and get out because it was enough supporting my own life and my own wife. But children, the Bible says, are a reward of the Lord. God gave you that not to burden you, but to make you complete. I dare say there are people today that pray and desire children who already without children have more parenting skill than many of us who have children. Amen. I'm talking to parents. Learn to treat them as gifts of God. Secondly, train with physical instruction. The Bible says to train them. That is with physical instruction. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. What this tells us is it implies effort. That means that we physically show them how to love God. You know what this means? Those of us that can't wake up in the morning on time to go to church, it means to train and to wake up with them, to take them to church. You know what it means? It means that we bend our knee with them and we teach them how to pray. It means that we help them find their Bible or get them one and sit with them and open the Word of God physically so they can see that and so they can learn how to read God's Word. You teach them how to serve God and how to serve others. So important. Physically show them. It's us being Christian parents is not something we should live out incognito. There are no secret agent parents. Your child should never go through their living in their house until they're 18 and ready to move out and go, what, you're a Christian? Yet many do. But we need to show them physically. I'm so thankful here at Rock of Ages. I'll take time to say this. If you look around here at Rock of Ages, you know, this church is run by young people. Listen carefully. Yeah, come on, you better give them an applause. This church is run like by young people. The only old guy is me. But if you look at our cameras, you look at the guys roaming around with the cameras, you look at the sound, you look at all the music ministers, they're all kids. I walk up here with a cane and everybody's bouncing up there. They're all in their youth. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. It testifies a lot about this church. But it also says a lot about us adults. So what do the adults do? Oh, nothing. Hard to get ushers in here because nobody will volunteer. Hard to get greeters in here because nobody will volunteer. We got young people who are serving as ushers, young people serving as greeters, young people teaching pulpits in the back. Everywhere. We thank God for them. But for us as parents, we're supposed to train them, to physically show them, just like you did that child to learn to run and to ride that bicycle. Our children will never learn. I tell again, every time we dedicate a baby, I say to them, that baby is soft as clay in your hands. They will learn to pray like you. They will learn to read God's word like you. They will learn to be nice and loving to others like you. They will learn to come to church like you. They will learn to serve in church and others like you. And I can say this, that when I say that, I make sure I look at both parents, and sometimes I thought, yikes. We wonder why this world is filled with young people who have no direction in life. Maybe they just had no one to direct them in life that was worthy of the following. But we've got to show them this philosophy of go to church because you need to go and I'll stay here at home and do nothing. Doesn't work. Remember that little funny I told you just a few days ago, or weeks ago, I don't know when. And it's this young man that wakes up late in the morning and the mother's already, and the father already in the kitchen, haven't had their breakfast, and they're fixing themselves up and get themselves ready for church. And the boy walks in and, hey, mom. And the mom says, hey, good morning. He goes, yeah, I'm tired. Oh, you're tired. I understand everybody gets tired. Yeah, I'm exhausted. Oh, man, everybody gets exhausted. He goes, man, I don't even feel like going to church today. Oh, yeah, I get it. Some people just, I mean, I'm telling you, a time or two, you just don't feel like going. So does that mean I can stay? No, no, no. Today we'll go to church without wanting to go. We're still going to go. Because today the Lord will receive your sacrifice as a true sacrifice of going to see Him. You see, because everybody will go to church when they feel like it. Not everybody will go to church when they don't feel like it, but they know they need to. There's a difference. It's showing them. How many times have you gotten up, father and mother, that you really don't feel like coming? You're exhausted. You work late Saturday night. Or you had to do something. Something broke down. Even I, as pastor, there's duties in my home that I have to do, that all of a sudden it's 11:30, 12 o'clock, and I'm exhausted. I'm laying down, and I'm already in my dreams putting my tie on. And I'm going, oh, God, who can I tell to preach for me, man? I'm exhausted. But nobody wakes me up in the morning. I know I have to be in the house of the Lord. My children saw that, and my children are in the house of the Lord. We need to train them. Number three, give them knowledge of God's word. I won't talk too much about this for the sake of time, but you understand that we've spoken a lot about this. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts and impress them on your children. The question of the hour this morning, father and mother, is do you read God's word? I want to remind you, against your philosophy or anybody's ideal, you can never teach anything you don't know. Amen? You cannot teach anything to anybody that you don't know. You're talking garbage. This whole idea of, say, I know that it says somewhere, or I heard it on the radio, or, well, even I heard pastor say, it doesn't work for you. That's not the doctrine. That's not good practice. Because one of this day, that child is not going to be 4 years old. He's going to be 10 years old. He's going to say, the Bible says that, Dad? Of course it says. Where? Oh, ask your mother. Or call the pastor. Call your leader. And you have no knowledge of God's word. God strictly admonishes us and encourages us and tells us, teach your children what you know. This commandment, he said, that I have given you. God gave you the commandments before he gave them to your children. And so this word you have to give unto them. You can never, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this, outsource the knowledge of your children. You can never depend on anybody outside of yourself to train and teach your children about godly things. It must first come from you, and from there, everything aligns with what you've taught them scripturally. Some of us come and throw our children in the church as if we were some kind of baby care system. Let them, they'll teach them good things. Some of you may not know this, but sometimes we receive parents outside in the street dropping their kids off and they leave. And here we have our children's church ministries loving on them and taking care of them. And where's your parents? Oh, they'll be back for us. And later on here, at late after service, they come and pick them up and take them. What is that? You need to teach your children. You cannot outsource it. You cannot give the responsibility to a nanny, to a teacher, to a pastor, or to anybody. You need to take the responsibility to show your children the Word of God because you know the Word of God. Next, demonstrate God in your own life. Demonstrate what God has done in you. Show them your salvation. Reveal your salvation. Psalm 78 and 4 says, we will tell the next generation praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. We will tell what the Lord has done in our lives. We need to exemplify salvation. My children need to see me saved in order to believe that there is a saving God. My children need to know what God has done in my life that has transformed me in order for them to say, wow, God is powerful. If he can change my father, my mother, he can change me. You cannot trust them to go learn these things elsewhere. You are the link, the missing link between them and God. You show them God, what God has done in your life. You know, a sad thing, I mentioned this this morning. It's such a sad thing to hear a father say, listen, man, your kid is running wayward. Ah, leave him alone. I was like that when I was a kid. I know some of us have heard that. Maybe some of us have said that. Look at this. Your daughter, she's so rebellious. Well, that's how you were when you were a kid. Look at that boy. He talks so bad. Well, yeah, how were you with your dad? You were the same way. And we use that as a buffering system to say, leave him alone. And we allow the child to go through that desert of waywardness in life, as many of us have a time or two, by simply saying, leave him alone. They'll grow out of it. Sadly enough, there are millions of parents in this world whom they let their children go off into the desert of the world and they've not returned. They've died in the world. Can you afford that responsibility and that loss, ladies and gentlemen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, it's a big error for us to say, leave them alone. That's the way I was. Then what God is, why did God save you if not to show them before them to say, you don't have to go there because I've been there. You don't have to waste your life away in bars and drinking and lying and cheating and all this sin in the world. Son, because I have been there, it's not beneficial for you, my son. God has saved me and transformed me and pulled me out so I could show you, son, not to go through the same junk and soil that I went through in my life. Ah, leave him alone, he'll learn. And sadly enough for many, they've had funeral services and the sons and daughters never learned. Keep your hearts open. This will change your life. I'm giving hope to your children and to you. Next, make your life desirable to them. Listen to me carefully. Make your life desirable to them. You know what this means? It means that one of the greatest, if not the greatest, aspiration a child to have is to be like his dad or his mom. Has your child ever, has my child ever looked at us and said, you know, Dad, when I grow up, I want to be just like you, man. Mom, I hope God finds me worthy to be just like my mom. She's awesome, man. I want to be just like you guys. I've seen my dad walk in front of me. I see how he talks. I see how he handles things. I see how he treats my mother. I see how he is. Wow, man. Man, if I could only become half the man my dad is. I've seen my mother. She's such a respectable woman with my dad. She treats him like a man, like her husband. She loves him. She takes care of him. Look, man, I hope that when I grow up, I would be just at least have like my mom. She's such a beautiful and wonderful lady. Are our lives desirable to our children? The Bible tells us that indeed parents should be an aspiration for our kids. Sometimes we don't like, well, somebody needs to answer that. Some of us don't like to go in through that area of thought pattern because it demands so much of us as parents. When we are asked to become the desire of our children, to become desirable to our children, it demands of us. That means that we can never forget that we are walking our lives in front of those whom are most important to us, our kids. It challenges us to always be conscious of the decisions we make before them, of the actions we take before them, of our character we expose before them, of the words we use before them, the responses to life before them, our personality before them, the practices before them, everything before them. It challenges us to maintain ourselves in check so that we can keep at that level in their hearts at least a desire to be someone somewhat like us. But sadly enough in life, as some of us older generations, we know sometimes parents leave one thing in the hearts of children. And that is, they leave a child saying, I'll never be like you. The way you treated mom, the way you treated us as your children, I'll never be like you. The way you talk, the way you disrespect, I've seen it. I've seen it all. I was a kid. I remember when I was 4, I was 5. I used to see, I see. Now when I'm growing up, I'm 18 now, Dad, and I'll never be like you, ever. Mom, I'm getting ready to move out. I'm going to be getting married now. You know what? I'll never be like you. I'll never treat Dad like you. I'll never treat my husband like you. Mom and Dad, I'm 20 years old now, and now my wife is ready to have a baby. And you know what? I'll never treat my children like you did. I'll never be like you. It's important. Parenting, ladies and gentlemen, is not something we should take lightly. We go back to the complaining we have of today's generation. Why are they messed up? Could it be maybe God would look at us and say, well, listen, don't exclude yourself from the situation. If you had listened to what I said and been an example to your children and done what I told you in scripture, what I told you in advice and commandment, your children would have still learned how to ride a bicycle. They would have still been growing up and never loosened their head. You would have had something within you that your children saw to admire and say, I want to be like my dad. In every perfect story, in every fairy tale, it seems like now where we find things like that is in a fairy tale, in some nursery book. When I grow up, I want to be a fireman like my dad. When I grow up, I want to be a homemaker like my mom. Oh, my mom, she's got pretty eyes. And you love the... It's a fairy tale. But it was never meant to be a fairy tale. It should be our work to work with our children to make them one day think in their hearts and say, you know, I saw my dad live his life with dignity. I could only pray God would find me worthy to live a life like my dad, like my mom. Is your life desirable to them? Next, if you got more time, be a help to your children. Be a help to them. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, let me say this in our favor. As parents, I'm a father too. It's our objective always as parents, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll agree together that when children grow or growing, the first thing you want to teach them is what? Independence. Correct? Parents? Right? Independence. You want to teach them independence. You want to teach them how to do things for themselves. A baby's little, she'll have to learn how to put her shoes on. Mama can't be getting on her knees to put her shoes on all the time. When he puts his pants up, he's got to learn how to tie his belt. He's got to learn how to go potty. He's got to go learn so that we don't have to take him anymore. He's got to learn how to hold a spoon and feed himself so that mommy and daddy don't have to be spoon feeding him. And independence. And so he grows. Now he has to get up one day, get dressed, and go to school. He needs to learn how to brush his teeth, comb his hair, present himself so that we don't have to spend an hour to comb the boy. It's all independence, and it's a good thing. All of us were taught that. Some of us are still learning. But it's a good thing to teach them independence. It's a proper thing. It's the way of the world. And let me just say this to some of us who overly indulge our kids and are always with them. One of these days, father and mother, there's an extreme on the other side that we cannot always rescue our children when they're in problems. Sometimes we need to let our children get into situations they do and let them struggle out. That's not being a bad parent. If you're always there for every situation that your child has, you will do a great injustice to your child because you'll never let him grow. He'll never learn to fight himself and maneuver himself out of situations in his life. Why? Because whenever they find themselves in some heated moment or some situation that's uncomfortable, they just wait, Daddy, Mommy. And here we come. Pay for it, fix it. Defend them, do whatever, and say, come home. And they'll never grow. It happens all the time in homes. This is why even fathers and mothers are against the opposite side. Get the kid to cut the yard. Leave him alone. He's tired. Well, he's already 17, 18. He needs to look for a job. Not yet. And the kid's listening, going like, now you find entertainment shows with children coming out. What you're so depressed about? Oh, my mom. She's already 40, 50 years old. My mom wants me to get a job. you'll do a great injustice to the child. You need to stop getting them out of trouble, because soon enough they'll learn how to defend themselves. But in saying that, ladies and gentlemen, there's also an extreme, that there are parents who do nothing for their children. Nothing. As soon as he's old enough, they'll throw him out. That, or as soon as they're in the house, now they do things on their own. They don't expect anything from the house. I know of children who have been let go from home, and they have been making, struggling, living from under bridge to bridge, or living in a friend's house, or living in the car, whatever. Why? Because dad and mom are tightwads, and they will not help their child. That's an ungodly thing. God calls you worse than an unbeliever. And it teaches something very important about us as well, ladies and gentlemen, when we respond to our children that way. It shows of us that we've learned nothing from our relationship with our Father. Let me explain quickly. Have you ever been in trouble now that you're 50 years old? Come on. Only me? And one honest, two, even a young person, two, three. The rest, I'm going to pray for you guys. You're lying. But have you ever been in trouble at your age? Has God not gotten you out? I said, has God not gotten you out? Has God not delivered you from stuff that you've been in your life, even as you are now old? Have you walked into a mess in your life that you got yourself into on your own, and still God as a loving Father went out there to help you and to rescue you and give you another opportunity? He'll always be a father to you. But he does these things that we might learn that we are always to be parents for our children. I get it. Sometimes kids do more things wrong than they should be doing things right. But a good father will always be there, and he will adjust these things lovingly. The Bible says this to us. Just in case some of us didn't know this, let me see if I can find this scripture. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 14, "Now I am ready to visit you for the third time," the apostle says, "and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but I want you." Here, the apostle Paul is going to go visit these people. And he makes it clear, listen, I'm not going over there because I want you to feed me and take care of me and give me new shoes and all. I don't want your possessions. I want nothing from you. I just want to see you. And then he teaches something very important that many of us may not want to read. He says, after all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Should be in your Bible. After all, your kids shouldn't have to be taking care of you as they're growing up. You as a father should be responsible to take care of them, to provide for them. I'm not telling you to bathe them in everything and spoil them. No, there's a proper balance to let them suffer, to learn, to grow and mature. But there comes a time where you have to show compassion as your father has and say, son, I know. Mija, I know. I'm going to help you. Which leads me to the next one. Can I give you one more? Amen. Learn to discipline and not punish. Learn to discipline and not punish. Proverbs 29 and 17. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace, and they will bring the delights you desire. Let me teach you this thing. We've got a little bit of time. Let me teach you this thing about punishment and discipline. There is a difference between a punishing parent and a disciplining parent. Disciplining, the force behind, the motivation behind disciplining a child comes from wanting the child to mature and grow. It comes with a desire to take that mistake that the child made and show them how it's not beneficial, that they can learn to discern that mistake and learn from it to never do that again. It comes from a nurturing nature. To discipline is to help, to encourage. The motivation is love and education, training, because you seek maturity in the child. That's what discipline means. We have it all miscontorted now. Discipline him. And that's what we do. What's he doing? He's disciplining him. You're not disciplining him. You're punishing him. Discipline comes from a nurturing attitude and spirit about you. It's the fathership in you that disciplines a child, because there's always learning involved. I want you to learn, son. This is why you don't do these things. Look at the trouble you're in. You see this, how this does not work for you? It's not good for you. Stop it. But the discipline, ladies and gentlemen, is completely punishment, comes from a reckless and uncontrolled and frustrated emotions in an individual. It has nothing to do with parenting. It comes from personal dissatisfaction from within the individual executing the punishing. It comes propelled by inner failures of that individual, the inabilities to control themselves because of their own disappointments. I don't want you to do that anymore because I did that myself. And you think the child is learning, but you're punishing the child. And what punishment does, while discipline encourages the child to see, do you learn? Yes, sir, I see it. Okay, but over here, it shrinks the child to nothingness. It embitters the child. It angers them. It kills love. It kills respect. It kills care, honor, hope, and the warmth of family. Punishment does. And the Bible says that we should never make a child regret their life. Colossians 3 and 21, fathers, do not embitter your children, for they will become discouraged. That's what will get a child to say, I never want to be like you. I'll never be like you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'll never treat my children like you. The way you yell at me, the way you scream at me, the way you're uncontrolled. It embitters the child. And sadly enough, ladies and gentlemen, to bring greater weight to this responsibility, because you are a Christian, you are a representative of God, he will get to the point to say, I never want to serve the God that you serve, because if this is what he expects from those who serve him, I want nothing to do with him. I don't know why my children don't want to serve the Lord. Because of you. Because he's seen what grand things God has done in your life. Do not embitter your child. Learn to discipline, not punish. Learn to nurture them and grow them from their errors. Don't call them idiots and stupid. They'll never learn from that. They learn to regret that they had you as a father, as a mother. And finally, this morning, I'll say this. Always be a father and a mother to your children. Always. Deuteronomy 5 and 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded. I want you to listen to that. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord has commanded. Now, I'll read the scripture where the Bible tells us that with that commandment of the Lord to the children, there is a great blessing. We'll read that in a second. God has set aside blessings for the children that learn to honor and respect their parents. And the Bible says it will be with long life and to provide for them the possessions that he has promised them. If you learn to honor young people, your parents, there is great reward from the Lord set aside for you. Yeah. But to us parents, we need to understand that in order for a child to honor us, we must hold up the office properly. That kind of changes the tone automatically. Oh man, I thought he was going to get our kids now. Oh man, I'm talking to dads and moms. I'll deal with them later. You guys are cool right now. Relax. But in order for a child to respect a father and to honor a father and mother, we must uphold the office of good parents and make it merit that honor and respect. Never allow your parenting authority given to you by God and the responsibility of your parenting, put it on the line to be trampled on by your children. God has called you a father, as a father, a priest of the home. And as a mother, the Lord has called you a woman worthy of respect and praise. Those are high callings in the house. It's a common practice today, sadly, that in our homes today is simply filled with young people and older young people. There are young people and older young people, but there is no parent identity in the house. Because that's my old man. He's cool. He's my buddy. That's my old lady, man. She's cool. And they've lost sight of the position God has given you as my sister. She's my friend. Oh, my mom is my best buddy. We share all things together and we have pillow talk at night and we tell secrets to each other. And all these things, they may be so nice. And there's nice to have a relationship that's kind of giddy with your children, and that's okay. But you never do it at the expense of them losing sight that ultimately, and a greater responsibility, is that you will always be their father and their mother. When you lose that, that's where honor ceases to be found in your house. I'll say this about my own family. I mean, you can ask my children whenever you want. I love my children. And they love me. And I play with my children. And if you know me off of this pulpit, I'm quite the prankster with my children. We play, we go places, we laugh a lot. I'm a young kid at heart when I'm with them. And they roll around and play with, especially now my grandchildren. I have a great time with them. And they laugh and we mess around and we go hunting together. We go fishing together. We laugh together. So many things and crazy things. And everybody laughs. But in the top of it all, they never forget that I am their father. Ever. They'll never forget that that little girl right there that sits with me, walking with me for 47 years now, is their mother. And when the dust settles from all the laughter and all the giddiness and craziness together, they'll remember that when I speak to them as their father, not as their buddy. It's when you allow that to be lost in your house that all honor is lost in that office. And the sad part, ladies and gentlemen, listen again. Let me read Deuteronomy 5 and 16 to you again. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord has given you. This is the promise of the Lord for those who honor their parents. So let me give us greater responsibility as parents. You are responsible to maintain the honor as parenting in your home for the sake of them keeping the promises of the Lord. Did you follow me? You are responsible. I am responsible to keep my office as a parent at home in check, always healthy, always present, always visible, always worthy of honor. Why? Just because of me? No, so that they can keep and turn the promises that God gave them as they honor me as their father. So basically what I'm saying is that when you allow that dishonor to seep out of your home and they dishonor you, they not only lose that dishonor of having the honor of having a father in you, but they also lose the blessing of God that came with the honoring. Anybody in the house today? Yeah. And so in closing, I say this, only be careful, as Deuteronomy 4:9, only be careful and watch yourself closely so that you not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.